joining me here in the Allstate Showcase studio is Republican State Representative Keith Wheeler from Oswego. Representative, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Well, good morning. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed the music on the way down with the YouTube bumper music the whole way. Loved it.
Yeah, and of course, we wanted to get you an early start today so that you'd be well prepared when you go to Soldier Field tonight for the concert.
I got two important entertainment venues to hit today. I've got my daughter's dance recital this afternoon and then off to Soldier Field for my 36th U2 concert tonight. So,
wow, really?
Yeah, big fan.
Wow. If maybe we could just play music and you could just sing along to it.
I do know the words. Yes. The singing part we're going to leave to Bono.
You'll be singing tonight, I'm sure.
Best I can.
And 50,000 of your closest friends.
Very good friends. Field. Absolutely.
Well, I wanted to have you on because I wanted to talk about kind of the House Republican attitude of what transpired last week in Springfield, the failure to adopt a budget, the fact that we're in continuous session once again, and the fact that we're over 700 plus days without a state budget. And I had Greg Bays on, the head of the Manufacturers Association, earlier, and he believes that there is palpable frustration out in the public. I don't know if it's really gotten to that extent yet, despite this lingering budget impasse, and even suggested it might take something about not having schools open to finally have it hit home to people.
Yeah, no, that's that frustration certainly is felt in my office, of the phone calls we get, with the emails we get from people all across the state. But primarily, the fact that we haven't actually started the budget process is what frustrates me as a second-term legislator the most. We haven't done a real budget since I've been in office. And we haven't even done the first step of that budget process, which is a revenue estimate, which is our protection to have a balanced budget. We just haven't done that since, I guess, May of 2014 was the last one we actually did. And that wasn't even a real budget because we didn't fund the entire year. We had to come in my freshman year, and the first thing we did was fix a budget hole that was left behind from the previous administration. And it has just been an absolutely frustrating process to never really become a thoughtful, articulate approach to how we budget for the state of Illinois.
Well, I know you've even suggested that the Attorney General, that Lisa Madigan, should step in here, and as well as far as to provide, to force the providing of a revenue estimate that everybody, you know, will accept.
Right. I mean, the budget process in Springfield shouldn't be this complicated. I mean, the way it was explained to me by one of my veteran colleagues was you start with the revenue estimate, which is how much money you expect to bring in, and then you divide up that money among the different appropriations committees, and then you meet, present some bills, get those bills passed, get the governor to sign them. That's the really simplified version of what happens. But since I've been in office, we have not even done that first step once yet. And I've always been fearful that we keep running up this deficit spending process by not doing those things. And the speaker has prevented that from coming to the floor. I've got so frustrated this year that I actually filed revenue assistance myself, which I don't think has ever been done by a non-leadership, non-chairman legislator. It just hasn't been done.
So when I had Greg Bays on and talked about the grand bargaining that was going on in the Senate and the fact that ultimately that collapsed, Senate Democrats then started moving bills over to the House following suit. And I kind of got the viewpoint that at that point, things were so far off the rails that these were just bills. And I'm not trying to take a critical assessment of their merits, but they're bills that were politically oriented to support Democratic causes, knowing that a Republican governor is going to veto them, things like a $15 minimum wage and a Democratic version of workers' compensation changes, those kinds of things.
That's what's frustrating. What we actually dealt with on the floor this last week in Springfield, we never talked about a budget. We talked about these other elements that you mentioned, talking about minimum wage. I wanted to bring up, when we had that discussion on the floor, about the impact that actually has on the state, but also what it has impact on small business, and how one study shows that 93,000 jobs will be lost if we implement that. We didn't actually discuss that in any real measure. We just kind of were handed a bill and had to vote on it on the floor. And this happens all the time in Springfield, where we get an hour after an amendment is dropped to review a bill and have to vote on it. I'll give you an example, the school funding bill that went through. I had asked for data on how that impact districts in my area. That data wasn't available until after the vote was already over. Now, how is that a thoughtful process that gives us the best, you know, information to make the decisions we make and how we take care of our residents? It just doesn't seem to work out that way. Unfortunately, I think it's by design.
We're speaking with Republican State Representative Keith Wheeler from Oswego, giving us a lesson on how the sausage gets made in Springfield. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin. With a metaphor of the spring legislative session when it comes to a budget. Still haven't found what I'm looking for. I'm Rick Pearson here in the Allstate Showcase studio. This is your Sunday Spin, and I'm joined here by Keith Wheeler, Republican State Representative from Oswego. And I was surprised you didn't just automatically chime into the music right there.
I was playing the air bass guitar there for you. that's too bad we can't play music on the House floor. That'd be an appropriate ending piece there for what we've gone through.
Actually, the music would be more like wah, wah, wah. I have a feeling would be more summing up the Illinois legislative process. Yeah, you know, obviously, the governor has his conditions for a budget. Democrats say, well, they're not budget related, but you have things like workers' comp, which I think is economically related.
There's actually two elements there that I'd like to bring up with you. One, work comp is definitely a budget item. I've talked to some of the governor's staff who do the analysis on the actual dollars and cents of what the proposed work comp package that was being discussed in the Senate would entail, and they're talking about tens of millions of dollars of savings directly to the state. Now, that also impacts every single employer in the state. And there's a set of employers that we never seem to talk about enough, and those are the social service providers, especially those who take care of the developmentally disabled. And I've met with several of them. I have one in my district called Markland. The Ray Graham Association invited me to meet with them in DuPage County, and they gave me an example of how their work comp costs have increased over the last decade from about $250,000 to $1.4 million a year. Now, we haven't given them any relief on the top side with what we're reimbursing them for, but they're getting pinched very hard by this expense, and it's preventing them from actually giving their workers raises. So this really is a budget issue across every employer in the entire state, and that ultimately impacts every employee in the entire state.
And when I talked to Greg Bays, it sounded like, indeed, they were very close on coming up with something until the politics of the day took over.
That's my understanding. I actually pay pretty close attention to that particular issue, and I oftentimes am one of the lead, I guess, challengers on the floor and in committee with respect to work comp issues, because I've been paying work comp insurance for all my career as a business owner. And it was so close. I mean, I was like, oh, I can't believe we're going to get a deal. This is so exciting. We're finally going to get something accomplished. It takes one of those chips off the table that we can move forward on some other issues with. Property tax would be the next thing on my list that I talk about all the time, because property taxes in Kendall County, where I live, are the highest in the state. And that's a big deal.
Well, let's talk about property taxes, because obviously, you know, that's a very topical issue. But the fact of the schools being so over-reliant on property taxes, and to truly alleviate that property tax burden would require more state revenue and the state paying a larger share to allow a rebating or whatever of taxes. But yet that's a huge step. And when we're talking about revenue increases now, tax increases, it's just to try to fill budget holes. It's not to take the next step that people have been talking about for decades, about how to lessen the reliance on property taxes and stop funding schools by zip code.
No, it agreed. And that was one of the thoughts. You know, we had a school funding reform, I guess, task force committee. We've had several different iterations of that, even in the short period I've been in Springfield. And
after covering it for 35 years, trust me, there are plenty of studies, and I'll be happy to show you. They're all sitting gathering dust, you know.
Right. But there seemed to be a movement that, hey, we could come together on some things here. And in true Springfield fashion, we get to the last day. And the day before the last day, amendments drop, and you know they go to committee, and we immediately get to me, meaning not me personally, I'm not on that committee, but others in the committee and our staff, and analyze those as quickly as they can. And then you get to the floor the next day, and you're still trying to figure out the data. I'm getting data from advocates that doesn't match up with what our analysis shows. So you're trying to figure out what is the answer here, but because we've run it up against the last moment of the clock, again, there's no time to really be thoughtful, provide, in rebuttal to what's been brought up, you'd have to just vote on it, and it wasn't ready.
But how do we get to that point with schools, with property taxes? And look, everybody hates property taxes. I mean, it's the most onerous. And frankly, to me, when you're basing kind of an artificial wealth measure from an 18th century version of when property meant wealth, and relying that as a system of funding government it's so antiquated.
No, and it actually circles back into many things, because property taxes are a business expense as well. And in mm-hmm. Cook County, it's even more acute because there's just a shift between residential and commercial property. And as a business person, and I want to see economic growth, because that's ultimately the answer that solves a lot of our problems. We don't ever seem to talk about that in Springfield. If we lowered the property tax burden on business owners, you're going to have more opportunity for businesses to create themselves. Property taxes get paid whether you make money or not. It's not like an income tax where you pay a percentage of your profit. You're paying that as an absolute expense. You cannot have your space to operate in unless you actually pay those property taxes. So it affects so many things, residents, commercial. Everybody's impacted by it, and we have to find a better balance, and we have to grow our economy in Illinois in order for us to dig out of the hole we're in for so many different things.
But when we look at what the governor had proposed as a property tax freeze that also would make it easier for residents to create a referendum to hike or lower property taxes, it still seems that freeze it hamstrings those governments, it hamstrings school districts without anything to make up for that kind of thing. And in fact, and we've seen it throughout the state where local governments or school districts hearing just the talk of a property tax freeze will immediately go to referendum so that they don't lose anything. And how many districts across the state has that taken place in?
Right. No, and then that's what goes back to the word that seems also to be missing in my experience as a legislator, and it's a balance. I mean, we have to understand on both sides of this. There's a property tax payer issue that they're being overwhelmed. I get emails, phone calls, pretty angry discussions with neighbors about how they can't afford to stay in their house anymore. They're going to look at other states, other opportunities. At the same time, I have kids in school. I want those programs to be in place for them so they have the best opportunity to learn and create a future for themselves. So there is a balance in here that we have to find. But the way we do things in Springfield, there's really not an opportunity for balance, because it's always just wait to the deadline, lots of pressure, push it through. And that is not a great way to run a government.
Well, and if there's a issue with property taxes now, let's see what happens in Washington if they do move forward with any kind of tax reform. And has been talked about a lot, we're going to have big, your personal deduction's going to increase, but that state and local tax deduction's going to go away. And that means you won't be able to deduct your property taxes off your federal income taxes anymore. And that may be a wake-up call for some folks.
No, I mean, we had discussions. I mean, there's a group of legislators that I came with. We call ourselves the sophomore class right now because we're in our second terms. And we really try to get together when the opportunities present themselves in Springfield, when we're not, late at night in committees and other things, to discuss what are the solutions that we could move forward. What are the things we could do in light of the fact what's happening in Washington, what's happening at the local level, and of course what's happening in Springfield, where we don't seem to have the opportunity to really collaborate. And even with the legislators on the other side of the aisle that I've gotten to know pretty well, we just don't get a chance to have those discussions. It's always the last minute thing, pressures from other places like Washington that just come in and dictate what we're going to do next. And it's really unfortunate that the process doesn't work more collaboratively and inclusively.
Then we might have an answer. We might find what we're looking for, right? Keith Wheeler, Republican State Representative from Oswego, thank you so much for joining me this morning, and have a great time at the U2 concert.
Appreciate that. Thank you so much.
We'll be back with more right after this.